Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. President Obama is now in London, at the site of his first overseas journey as president. He's there with the First Lady, as well as Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and other top economic advisors. They're all there in advance of Thursday's kickoff of the G20 Economic Summit, which brings the world's most industrialized nations together in an effort to address the global economic crisis. There will be plenty of work for the president on Wednesday as well, dodging protests as well as important meetings with world leaders. Reporter Dave Thompson has a preview.
Leave is cancelled for the city's police force as it tries to rein in the 10,000 people expected to hit London streets. It's also going to be a busy day for US President Barack Obama as he makes his debut on the world stage. He has several high-profile meetings ahead of him, including with British Prime Minister Gordon Brown and the presidents of China and Russia. Dave Thompson, London.
Meanwhile, some bad news for the global economy. The World Bank has released its latest economic outlook, predicting the global economy will contract in 2009 for the first time since World War II. As G20 leaders gather in London for a summit on the financial crisis, World Bank Chief Robert Zoellick says the new forecast is grim indeed.
We forecast economic growth in developing countries to slow sharply this year to 2.1%. And we expect actual declines in Central and Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and Latin America and the Caribbean.
The World Bank expecting a recession of 1.7% in 2009 and a fragile recovery in 2010. It says Russia's economy could be the hardest hit of all, with a possible 4.5% decline in growth this year. Zoellick also says as a result of the major industrialized nations struggling economically, the developing countries are going to feel the pinch too.
Just as the global economy once helped lift hundreds of millions of people out of poverty, today there's a risk of development in reverse, as our interconnected world transmits negative shocks with greater power and velocity.
As you just heard a moment ago, the president will be meeting with British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, and as he gets prepared to do that, British troops officially beginning their withdrawal from Iraq with a handover of military authority in the southern part of Iraq to the U.S. Commander of coalition forces in Iraq, General Ray Odierno, paid tribute to the sacrifices made by British forces.
None of this has been easy. We have faced tremendous adversity. But time and again, you have risen to meet every challenge. You have restored hope where chaos reigned. You have given the people of Iraq the opportunity to build a bright and prosperous future.
At the ceremony in Basra, U.S. Major General Michael Oates has taken control of a multinational division, which will now control the Basra area. Most of Britain's 4,000 combat troops will leave by May 31st. But British Air Chief Marshal Jock Stirrup insists Britain remains committed to the mission in Iraq, and this is not the end of it.
Indeed, in many ways, it signifies only a beginning. We look forward to an enduring relationship with the Iraqi armed forces based upon partnership and mutual interest.
Iraq was once listed by former President Bush as along the axis of evil. He also listed North Korea, which in the coming days is planning to test a ballistic missile. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says that this is against UN resolutions, and she also says Japan has every right to defend itself.
Japan has every right to protect and defend its territory from what is clearly a missile launch that could very well be aimed at their nation and cause some consternation among the Japanese government and public.
Onto the economy now, and President Obama and the White House Automotive Task Force have given General Motors 60 days to solidify a viability path or face the potential loss of federal support. The brand new GM CEO Fritz Henderson says the White House and the task force have shown they will support efforts to sustain GM as a strong U.S. business entity.
Talking about what it would require to both finance working capital during an interim period of 60 days and making sure that General Motors, if we do need to resort to a bankruptcy process, that they will work with us on an expedited or quicker surgical basis.
But what will this retooling look like? One brand of GMs that appears to be on the chopping block is Hummer, but Henderson isn't quite sure if it's just going to fade away or get sold.
We don't have that today, but this is one where, you know, frankly, we're within now weeks of basically making a judgment, are we going to have a sale or not? So I feel pretty good about the timetable, actually, but we just didn't quite make today. I think certainly, as I look at it, this is measured in weeks or days, not necessarily months.
Meanwhile, the head of Fiat is in Michigan working with Chrysler leaders in an attempt to finalize a partnership agreement. President Obama gave Chrysler 30 days to solidify that deal. If there's no alliance by the end of April, Chrysler may cease to exist. More bad news about where home prices are headed. The latest S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index has home prices in 20 U.S. cities dropped by a record 19% in January from a year earlier. This leading measure of the nation's home prices has fallen every month since January of 2007. And quickly on Wall Street, the Dow up 87, the S&P 500 up 10, the Nasdaq gaining 27, oil $1.49 higher, consumer confidence flat in March. Still ahead on Dateline Washington, the latest marketing strategy from Ford. We'll also hear why Iowa Congressman Steve King believes that President Obama needs to withdraw the nomination of a key Justice Department official. And when we come back, Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter on the president's orders for the auto industry. Stay tuned.